Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Earlier this summer, we sat down with Ajo Honsu, the Togolese St. Louis chef and owner of the food truck Fufu and Sauce, and one of eight contestants in The Great American Recipe, PBS's reality cooking show. Well, the finale of the third season of that show aired on Monday this week and added another title to Ajo's bio.
The winner of The Great American Recipe is...
And Ajo is back to share what it was like to prepare dishes that celebrate her West African food and culture and to win with them on national television. Ajo, welcome back and congrats to you.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for having me back.
So those audience cheers we heard were recorded at a finale watch party hosted just next door to us at 9 PBS with fans of The Great American Recipe and fans of you and your cooking. Now, you knew what was coming, but what did it feel like to be declared the season three winner in the midst of folks here at home in St. Louis?
I will say that the finale party and watching it with everybody, because when everybody saw it on Monday was the first time I also saw the episode. So I don't get to watch it beforehand. I watch it with everybody. So even though I knew what was coming, everybody's excitement and just the waiting for it all and the like seeing how it all gonna play out, I was shaking just as much as I was shaking the day of when we were taping it. But it was such a joyous moment. And I'm definitely happy to be the winner, of course.
Did watching it, was it any approximation of what it felt like when you were taping and were declared the winner?
What I mean, it taping it and being in the moment of it was absolutely 10 times worse.
Worse in what way?
The anticipation of it all, you know, because those three other home cooks that I was in the finale with are all such great cooks, and they're all very knowledgeable in their area of cooking, in their cooking style, in their heritage, and things like that. So it's really not a, oh, I made the chicken better than Marcella, so my chicken would win. Mm-hmm. It's really just a whole of everything. So you just don't know.
Right.
You wish it's you, but you don't know. So you're standing there and it seemed like it took 2 weeks for them to
So this actually gets to some of the format. You've mentioned Marcella, who is one of the three finalists.
Yes.
And for those who aren't familiar with the format of The Great American Recipe, contestants are not eliminated after each episode. And so Ajo, you and seven other contestants were cooking alongside one another for 7 weeks leading up to the finale when there were three of you left standing. What is it that you learned from competing and cooking in that kind of a setup?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed being part of the show because I am not a cutthroat person. I'm one that believes that, hey, we can all get along. Let's just all figure out a harmony. And I think The Great American Recipe does a good job of that as a show, to where they're not, even on set, they're not instigating rivalry at all. You know, they're just making sure we're all okay. They're making sure we all have what we need to. So what that in turn did for us as the competitors is just create a big family and helped each other better our recipes, you know? And so like, if you follow the show all throughout, usually when I made my Penang curry, I don't put peanuts in it. And then I saw May roasted some peanuts with one of her other dishes to put in there. And the judges loved it so much. And I was like, oh, May, how do you roast the peanut? And she showed me the process of how to do it. So
right.
And I ended up winning with that recipe. Mm-hmm. So it really was just a big family environment. We all just genuinely loved spending time with each other, talking about our families. It was, you know, like I said, the best part of that experience other than winning is now having seven individuals that are going to be part of my life for a lifetime.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And in the midst of what we were watching with the cooking, we learned so much about your personal story. Did you have any, you know, apprehensions about being so vulnerable with an audience, you know, that you could not see?
Mm-hmm. So I think that at some point in time during the interviews, you've done it so much that you start to open up. You know, because at the beginning, you know, when we start interview process, it's kind of uncomfortable a bit because you're like, OK, they're asking you all these questions and it feels like interrogation and it feels like, OK, this is 3 hours. We're 1 hour in. How long can this be? Right. Mm. But then as you get into it and you go through the cooks and you go through what those recipes means to you and you go through your family heritage of explaining those recipes and why you enjoy it so much and the experiences that you've had with those recipes. It becomes much easier to talk about it because it's just part of your life story and something that you have to share in order for the world to understand why it's so important that I love oxtails or why is it important that I show the egusi on TV or why did I choose the okra stew as my recipe DNA even though I wasn't sure the judges are going to like it or if they ever had it, right? Mm-hmm. So moments like that for me, like, made me realize, no, I do need to share these stories because I need to highlight this so other people going through this don't feel as alone as I did when I went through it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, earlier, you mentioned the name May.
Yes.
In the context of learning about
yes.
peanuts.
Yes.
Who is May? And why was there such an affinity with mm-hmm. her? I mean, did it have to do with some commonalities in your stories?
I think it definitely does. So May is May Chandra. She is out of Malibu because she is very sassy. May and I met on the set of The Great American Recipe, of course. And I immediately was drawn to May because she was just such a gentle and soft-spoken person, like a mom, mm-hmm. you know? And so I was the youngest contestant on set. So I'm like the bubbly and, you know, talking to everybody and all of that. And Miz, you know, she looked at me, she says, oh, you're just a joy, aren't you? And I just thought, that's something my mom or my grandma or, you know, a matriarch in a family would say, the way she just looked at me and said it. And so, and then funny story, actually, before mm-hmm. May and I met each other as a contestant, we met in the hotel. So all I saw is a lady trying to push stuff up to go to the elevator and go to her room. And I was like, do you need some help? So I just took her cart and pushed it to her room for her. And I was like, have a great day. And I left. And then when we met each other, I was like, hey, I met you earlier. So we already had that interaction
right,
with one another. And then in addition to like, just she's just such a warm-hearted, genuinely so direct, straight to the point woman. And I just fell in love, and we just became besties mm-hmm. in the 3.5-4 weeks that we were there. And it continues until now. You know, she's my bestie for life.
That's great. Well, it is a cooking competition.
Yeah.
So judges certainly are part of the picture.
Yes.
Was there a particular judge you were most worried about or, on the other hand, most excited to share your food with?
So I know that a lot of, almost half of my recipes were new things for most of the judges.
Mm-hmm.
The judge that I was most worried about was Tiffany.
Oh.
Because she is just very, you don't know.
Oh, okay.
Her poker face is like insane, you know? And she's been doing this. This is her third season. She does all the shows on TV. So she knows how not to reveal anything with her face. So when you're in front of her, you're just like, please like it. Please like mm-hmm. it, you know? But chef that was the most fun was Francis. He had the funniest jokes. Tim was just very cool. Tim was just chill, and it's like, hey, I'm here to enjoy as much as you guys are, and will give us pointers when she need, when he needs to. But Tiffany.
Oh, Tiffany. So there were things that each of the judges had said about your cooking, and one of the reasons I believe that as contestants you were interested in the show at all is that there is a spirit of learning. And there were challenges mm-hmm. where you did not quite give the judges what they were looking for.
Yes.
And then you did them again.
Yes.
That takes some guts.
Yes.
We could talk about other body parts, but it took guts to do that.
Yes.
Why did you
do
that?
So, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist, but I definitely like improvement, right? I definitely like improvement. And so I feel like being there in the moment was the time for me to show them the growth, that mm-hmm. I'm listening to what they're saying. And I'm, you know, even though this is a competition and I'm being, you know, sort of graded on this, I want to learn the techniques. I want to better myself. I want to, you know, like they mentioned, I'm a home cook. So all the execution and the techniques that comes with, you know, seasoned cook may not be something that I know. But them giving me those pointers and teaching me, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. listen, tell me once. I'm going to try it again. And so that's exactly what I did, because I'm a big believer in just constantly improving yourself and learning, because you're always going to be a student of life.
We were talking in the green room about how much time you had to cook. And when mm-hmm. they say 60 minutes, they really mean 60 minutes.
You get the 60 minutes, yeah.
So tell us about a component of one of the dishes you presented mm-hmm. that was almost entirely new to you.
So I will say a few things that I made on the show were actually the first time me making them that way. One of them was the plantain cookies. Because usually, so I didn't grow up in an oven culture, I call it, because mm. you know, everything was cooked on a coal pot, open flame and things like that. And so we didn't have an oven in my house growing up. So even when you're making anything that needs to bake, it's done on a cast iron pan over open flame. So usually when you make the plantain cookies like that, it would just dollop the dough onto like a cast iron pan mm-hmm. and just flip it. So it's pretty much like plantain pancakes.
Pancake, right.
Plantain pancakes in a way, not cookies. But I'm not a baker. You guys have learned that. And so when the baking challenge came, I was just like, what is one thing that I make that would cook just as the same in the oven? And so that's why I quickly switched to that. I was just as shocked when they love it, because I was like, oh, shoot. Like,
right.
I'm glad that it, you know, it translated like I thought it would. And then the taro ball, too, that usually when I make taro, we're either pounding it into fufu. Usually how we will make fufu, or we'll make fufu with cassava or plantain, that's how we use taro as well. Mm. Or, you know, either sliced and then fried. But I was like, okay, it's the finale. I can't just slice them and fry them. That's really like no juju.
Right.
I have to give them juju. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I would just make it a little bit more complex into a dough form.
So in this last minute,
yeah.
Ajo, what is next for you and Fufu and Sauce?
Oh, my goodness. As we grow and now with all the visibility from the show, we are trying to expand from our food truck into a commercial space. And so we have a GoFundMe on our website as well. If you look up Fufu and Sauce GoFundMe, we should pop right up. Another way to support us is to always find us at one of the festivals that we're doing this summer. And all of those dates are on our website, www.fufuandsauce.com. You can also purchase our curry. So all of the recipes from the show are going to be on PBS's website. almost 99%, except the plantain cookie, uses our curry, the fufu and sauce curry. So we do have that available for purchase on the website. So if you go on the website and you click on shop, you will be able to buy the bottle of the curry. So you can make all those winning recipes that you absolutely love in your own home. We have Festival of Nations coming up next week. So we're excited to be there and just keep on serving the community and sharing our culture and ethnicity.
Ajo Honsu is the chef owner of the food truck Fufu and Sauce and the season 3 winner of PBS's The Great American Recipe. Ajo, thanks for coming back to talk with us and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.